If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of John. I want to look in the 11th chapter and verse number 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Father, I pray that you would help us this morning as we stand, just a man with stammering lips. I pray, God, today that you would fill us. I pray, God, that you would help us by the power of your Spirit to preach the Word of God to this thy people. And I pray, God, you would encourage hearts this day, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. For 3.5 years, wherever Jesus went, death fled, disease faded, broken bodies were mended, ruined lives were repaired, sightless eyes were restored, ears that were empty were filled once again with sounds. Only Jesus could do this work. Lives that were hungry were satisfied. Crowds came to him. Multitudes came to him. Nobody was ever disappointed with Jesus. Oftentimes, people would take the roof off the building to get to Jesus. Some would climb up in trees and hang out on a limb just to get where Jesus was. While some would press their way through a crowd just to reach out and touch the hem of his garment as he passed by. In fact, all that Jesus did, the Bible said, couldn't even be written down, because the world itself could not contain the volumes that should be written about the works that Jesus did. But in that Passion Week, our Savior was arrested and he was sentenced to die. He carried a cross up Calvary's hill and he was nailed to that old cross. He was in charge, but he allowed it to be so that he might give his life a ransom for my sin. His followers saw him nailed there, and they were absolutely crushed by his death as they watched their Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, bow his head and give up the ghost. They left that Judean hillside that day discouraged. Have you ever had death come to your family? Have you ever had death come to one of your closest friends? And you just couldn't get past it. Oh, your heart was filled with discouragement. You were filled with defeat. You were completely disheartened. I want to preach this morning about Jesus is the resurrection. Just because he died on the cross, that was not the end. I want to turn back to Matthew chapter 28. And I want us to see, as we get ready to read some verses here, I want us to see Jesus' triumph over death. They crucified Jesus. And yes, he truly bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. In fact, just before he did, he said, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. We could read the account about how his death was certified because the soldiers came by to break the legs of all those that were crucified. But when they came to Jesus, he was dead already. And so the word came back to Pilate. And they said, "We wonder, is he dead already?" And the centurion said, "Oh yes, my Lord, because we ran a spear into his side and out came blood and water." You see, the serum of blood and water would separate in about 45 minutes after death. So certainly the soldiers could certify that Jesus died on that cross. The serum that came from his body would certify that Jesus died on that cross. And there are a lot of people that says, "Well, I don't believe he died." Listen, death reigned from the Garden of Eden upon every man. You realize that the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. Death has swallowed up every victim in its path. Every single one. But about the Messiah, it was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 25, verse number 8, that the Messiah, he will swallow up death in victory. But on the cross that day, it looks as if death has swallowed up our Savior. Number two, I want us to examine, we'll come back to the first point. Number two, I want us to look at his triumph over the dreaded grave. Now, Jesus had a body that was dead. The word body is the Greek word soma. And it literally is a body just like you have, but it also represents a corpse. It is a body that may no longer be breathing. Jesus now is a corpse hanging on that cross. And he had a burial that was very definite. While you're in Matthew chapter 28, look back with me at chapter 27 and verse 57. The scripture says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body, that's the corpse of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. You understand that Jesus' body, now dead, that Joseph of Arimathea secured a sepulcher for Jesus. It was Joseph's own tomb that had been hewn out of a great rock. And he put the body of Jesus. In fact, he wrapped Jesus' body very carefully, one finger at a time in wrappings. One finger, one limb at a time. And then as he did, he would take a layer of spices and ointments and put that on top of him and then wrap the body again. In fact, John's gospel, I believe it was, said that Nicodemus came and brought 100-pound weight of spices and ointments for the body of Jesus. They didn't just dump that on top of him. They wrapped that in wrappings around his body. And then they took that body and they put it inside that sepulcher and they rolled a stone in front of the mouth of that great sepulcher. And in fact, if you'll look with me in verse number 61, and there was Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I'll rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Not only was that sepulchre secured, and not only was it shut, but it was made steadfast in that they sealed that tomb. They put a Roman seal on it with a great band all the way around it to make sure that there was no way anyone was going to get out of that tomb. Hallelujah. They were worried to death about Jesus inside the grave. Oh, but he had triumph over death and he had triumph over the grave. And let's just leave point number two, right alone, right where it is for now. And let's look at not only his victory, his triumph over death, and his triumph over the grave, but what about his triumph over hell? Don't you know that Satan got good word when he saw Jesus, the Prince of Glory, die on the cross? When Jesus gave his last heartbeat and shed his last drop of blood, don't you know Satan said, we've got him. It's over. And he called all the demons of hell, and they had a great celebration on that Friday, if in fact he was crucified on Friday. Can you imagine hell's celebration? In fact, one preacher put it this way. It's Friday. Peter is denying. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate is struggling. The council is conspiring. They don't even know that Sunday is a-coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running around like sheep without a shepherd. They don't realize Sunday is a-coming. It's Friday, and the Romans beat my Savior. They robed him up in scarlet, and they crowned him with thorns. But you see, they don't know Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus walked up Calvary's hill with his blood a-dripping. His body was stumbling. His spirit was burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's still coming. It's Friday now. The world looks like it's winning, and the sinners are still sinning. And old Slewfoot over there, he's still a-grinning. It's Friday. And the soldiers nailed my Savior's hand to that cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to that cross. And they raised him up there next to those thieves. But it's Friday. And let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning. What's happened to the king? The Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know what we know. It's only Friday for them, but we know Sunday is a-coming. It's only Friday, and he's hanging on a tree, made my sin and your sin, forsaken by his Father, left alone, bleeding and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh no, it's only Friday, but Sunday is still coming. You see, it's Friday. And the earth is trembling, the sky grows dark, and my king yields to the pain. It's Friday, all hope is lost, death looks like it's won, sin looks like it is winning, and Satan is just laughing in that situation. It's Friday, and they took my Savior, and they buried him. A soldier stands guard, a great stone is rolled in place, but it's Friday. It's only Friday. And guess what, church? Sunday is coming. You ought to get ready, amen. My Bible says, Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come. See the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. You see, on that first Sunday morning, on that first day of the week, up from the grave my Savior rose. He triumphed over death. Yes, death seemingly claimed its victim and said, another one that I've swallowed up, another one that I've entrapped. But that was on Friday. But on Sunday morning, praise God, my Savior by the Spirit of God, life breathed back into him. And up from death he came. The writer of Hebrews said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hey, because Jesus defeated death, we will defeat death as well. Preacher, now I've got some loved ones who died. Listen, if they were saved, they took their last breath here. But what you don't know beyond the door is they took their first breath there and they're no longer dead. Hey, because Jesus lives, we will live also. Praise God, there's triumph over death. What about the grave? The grave seemingly has swallowed up another victim. One by one, from the time of Adam and Eve from the garden all the way to where we are, the grave seems to be winning. But our Savior on that first day of the week, from the grave he arose. Listen, the stone was rolled away, not so he could get out. Not so he could get out. He was rolled away so we could see in, and he was already gone. Amen. The grave has lost its prey. Whoo! I like what the scripture says in the book of 1 Corinthians, that death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The grave has been conquered. Hallelujah. Last of all, as hell was celebrating, hey devil, it's only Friday. You have a good time, because Sunday's coming. And on that first day of the week, up from the grave my Savior rose. The Bible says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Revelations 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Hey, the devil don't even have keys to his own domain. The Lord Jesus has got them, amen. Death, the grave, and hell has been robbed and has been forever conquered and defeated. Praise God for what our Savior has done. As those women saw that tomb, as Peter and John saw that tomb and said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. They found absolutely nothing. Aha, Preacher Darren, they found nothing. Oh, that's right. And in finding nothing, they found everything. Right. Amen. That's all we need, praise God. And the Lamb forever, amen. The angels verified that he was not there. His absence verified that he's not there. His appearances verified that he is no longer in the tomb. I think about the fact this morning that when they got there and our Lord had been wrapped up the way that he was. Where's old Luke? Luke Waldrop, where are you at? Come here, son, come here. When old Slewfoot thought he had him, when the grave thought he had him, when death thought he had him, amen, and they got him wrapped up there in them linen clothes with a 100-pound weight on him, he'll never get out of that. Son, you love Rice Krispie treats, don't you? I got this for you today before I come to church. I said, Lord, let old Luke be healthy enough today to come to the house of God, and I want to give him this, and I want you to eat it if you can get it out of the package without opening it. You see, son, our Savior was, they had him wrapped up. There was no getting out of that package they had him in. But the Spirit of God breathed in him, and Jesus came to life. And a change happened. He got a glorified body, and he came right out of that candy wrapping shell. And snap, crackle, pop, amen. Out he came victorious over death, hell and the grave, amen. I will say our Savior reigns. Snap, crackle, pop, amen. Amen. Whatever you say it, amen. Up from the grave he arose. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And because he lives, one day the saints of God that we have buried with their faith in the Lord, they'll be resurrected. And listen, we which walk around upon this earth, amen, we will be raptured and raised to be together with them, amen. And let me say this, the scoffers will be rebuked. Years ago in a little classroom, it was just a little Christian school, 19 students came to Mrs. Miller in August, and within the first month, she got so sick and tired of a little fellow by the name of Jeremy Foster. He grunted and he groaned and he disappointed her and he interrupted her. And she interviewed the parents and said, listen, he disrupts our classroom. We can't keep him here anymore. We've got nowhere else to take him. She said, he's 5 years behind where he's supposed to be in this class. 5 years. And I cannot catch him up. Send him somewhere else. And they said, Mrs. Miller, please, you don't understand what Jeremy has a terminal illness. He might not even live through the year. There's no other place to take him. He just wants to be around the boys and girls. He wants to learn a little. Can't you teach him? Mrs. Miller prayed with them. It's a Christian school. And she said, I'll do my best. But inside she knew, how am I going to overcome this? What am I going to do to teach this young man, and how am I going to keep him from continuing to be a distraction to my classroom? And they come through Christmas and they come to springtime. And the teacher sent them home for the weekend and said, it's Easter weekend, and I want you to go home and I want you to take these empty Easter eggs. She gave them great big eggs that were empty. And said, I want you to put what you think represents new life inside that tomb, inside that Easter egg. And so every one of the kids went home, and they came back on Monday and they put 19 eggs on her desk, and she opened the first one after math class and she said, okay, look, oh, it's a limb with new buds and leaves coming out of it. That represents new life. And then they opened up another one and it had a little, like a little butterfly type thing in it, and said, that represents new life as well. And then they opened up another one and it was just a piece of moss, and said, but that represents life because it is alive. And then she came to the fourth egg and she ripped it open and it was empty. And she knew immediately that it was Jeremy Foster's egg, and she didn't want to embarrass him, so she put it back together and she put it away. And he said, Mrs. Miller, aren't you going to talk about my egg? And she said, Jeremy, I think you misunderstood the assignment, son. We were supposed to put something in the egg that represented new life. He said, it does represent new life. Jesus died for our sins. And they buried him. But on the first day of the week, he arose, and his tomb is empty. That's why my egg is empty. It's empty. She didn't know what to say. The whole class, it just stifled them all. Soon, the little boy, he was not able to even come to school, and he died. And they said that at his funeral, they had his casket in front of the pulpit, and on top of his casket was 19 empty Easter eggs. I'll live again. I'll live again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm asking you a question. Believest thou this? Your head bowed, nobody looking. I wonder, would there be somebody here today say, I'll tell you what, I want to make a trip to that old-fashioned altar. I want to get on my knees and call on my Savior. I want to worship him. This is Easter. I've come to the house of God, and I came today to worship him, and I'm going to do that. I want to take another step. I want to come forward and worship him. Folks are coming. I wonder, is there somebody here this morning, your head bowed, you're not looking? You've seen people move the altar, people singing, praising the Lord. You've kind of even wondered what's it all about, but there's something inside you speaking to your heart. Just by simply raising your hand, I wonder if that'd be anybody. Just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I've not been saved." I was talking to a boy this week. He said, "I got saved Easter Sunday a couple years ago." He said, "My life will never be the same because I got saved." Let me tell you, the Lord can save. What a day to get saved on Easter Sunday. On Easter Sunday. I believe there's somebody here. You've never been saved. I'm not going to embarrass you, but you know you want to go to heaven. Jeremy Foster would tell you, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Your head bowed, nobody looking. Say, "Preacher Darren, I'm here. Don't want mom, don't want dad to know right now, but I need to be saved. I need it so desperately." You slip up your hand. Come on, put it way up high. And you put it right back down. I'll not embarrass you. Is there anybody? Father, this morning, Lord, I pray that God, your hand of mercy would be upon each of these today. Father, if there's not, if there's one here that's never been saved, God, I pray today would be the day that they'd make Jesus Lord and Savior. And God, I thank you for your son. I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for the blood that he shed, for the shame that he experienced. God, that I might be set free. And Lord, I want to tell you today I love you. And I thank you for saving me. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would take us today and help us. Lord, that we would draw ever closer to you than we've ever been. Lord, I'm thankful. Just like Sunday was a coming for that Friday, one day you're coming again. We better get ready because Jesus is going to take us home. Those that are believers, those that have put their faith in him, Jesus is coming to get us and take us home. Lord, I pray we'd be prepared. I pray we'd be ready because, Lord, there's no doubt there's people under the sound of my voice today that they've never made Jesus Lord and Savior. And when you come, you're going to go bypass them and they're going to be left here to the devil and the Antichrist. Oh, what a terrible tribulation they're going to experience. For them, it's going to be too late because they've said no to Jesus. And he will say no to them. God, I pray you'd help them then. Make the right decision now while they have time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.